The Palestinian reality? What's really happening in the Muslim lands? A new memoir by Professor Leila Ahmed? Or Muslim political candidates in the USA? These and more are questions you can hear discussed on Tahrir, WBAI's magazine of the Arab Muslim community. Marhaba, I'm Barbara Nimri Aziz, and I'd like you to join me and our Tahrir staff every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. That's Tuesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. You're sure to find something new and sometimes controversy.
WBAI needs your support. If you appreciate this radio station, please help keep it thriving. If you have access to the internet, you can show your support online 24 hours a day at www.wbai.org. If you listen, then please do your part to keep WBAI strong. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Radio for a changing world.
And it's just about 8 o'clock, which means once again it's time for Off the Hook. Back for another exciting edition of Off the Hook, back after 3 weeks of fundraising and pledge driving, and I want to thank everybody for their support to keep this radio station going so that we can continue to bring you Off the Hook and the many other programs that come your way over these non-commercial airwaves right smack in the middle of the commercial dial in New York City. Well, I've had a lot of time to... do some self-reflection. You have to do that occasionally. You have to kind of take stock of yourself and look at where you are and look at what you're doing and ask yourself, are you doing the right thing? You know, are you actually proud of your accomplishments, your behavior, the things that you involve yourself with on a day-to-day basis? And friends, I have to tell you, I came back from that little examination with some major concerns. I've looked over the things that I've been involved in lately, and I don't know. I'm starting to have some doubts here. I'm starting to really worry about the things I'm getting myself into. And I don't know if I can stop. I don't know if I can get out of this. It's... I don't know what the psychological term for it is, but it's basically, it's a form of criminal behavior. And yes, I'll use that term quite openly because, as we all know, criminal behavior is defined in a rather broader term. The definition these days is pretty all-encompassing. And lately, the things I've been doing have been, you know, one by one, they didn't seem so bad, but when you look at them all together, I really have to wonder. So, what I'm asking from this point on in this radio program is that we all kind of join together and help me out, kind of help me to redeem myself, help me to save myself. I know that sounds kind of self-serving, because it is kind of self-serving, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of where I'm going. Let me give you an example. This might be rather difficult, but I'll try. I bought that scanner. You know, I went up to Canada and I bought the scanner. The scanner that gets the frequencies, you know, the ones you're not supposed to listen to, the illegal frequencies, 800 megahertz. I turned it on. I was listening. I was listening to radio frequencies, listening to people's cellular phone calls being broadcast in the clear. I heard things I wasn't supposed to hear. I heard things nobody's supposed to hear. I did this in front of children. In front of children! Listening to illegal frequencies. And maybe I could have stopped there. But no. I had to go and talk to Bernie S. And you know what an influence Bernie S. is. Look what I have in my hand. That's what it sounds like dropping on the table, but it's that radio we were talking about a couple of weeks ago on the radio, on our radio station. This is the radio that you can't get in the United States. This is the one that we had to get from a foreign country. It's made by Sony, but it's not for Americans. It's not meant for us. It's meant for people in other parts of the world. Because it receives radio frequencies that, while not illegal, are very dangerous. Because you can listen to all kinds of things from all around the world in all different languages, and nobody is there from our government to stop it, to stand in the way, to keep it from reaching your ears. If you knew where to turn, you could hear the voice of the Taliban. That's right, you could. You could hear communists coming from Cuba at 6,000 hertz. Kilohertz, I'm sorry, 6,000 kilohertz. I think they're on now. But that's not the point. You can hear all kinds of things on this car radio that Bernie S. convinced me to get. It's called the Sony Explode. That's what it's called, the Explode. We had to export this thing from the United Arab Emirates. Do you have any idea what happens when you export something from the United Arab Emirates that says Explode on it? Wow. Customs really went through these boxes very, very heavily. You could tell by the way they looked when they were finished with them. On the way over here, I was listening to Canadian radio. I was listening to the BBC at 5975. That's right, you can still hear the BBC. They broadcast to Europe, but shortwave, it makes it all the way over here. And I was listening to this in my car. In my car. Listening to foreign broadcasts. I looked around me on the expressway. And then I got on the parkway for a while, and I looked around there. And even on the local streets in New York, I looked around, and I didn't see anybody else with the same kind of smug look on their face that I had from listening to all these differing points of view on the radio. Most people were playing music. Most people were playing music from an FM radio station somewhere in New York. And then listening to the commercials, because it's a sense of duty that you have to do that. And, you know, they had the kind of expression that went along with that. I didn't have that expression. I'm afraid of the kind of expression I had. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at the radio. It doesn't stop at the scanner. Over the weekend, I did something that I'm really afraid of, what the repercussions will be. The last time I went up to Canada, when I went up to the French Islands, off the coast of Newfoundland, I didn't quite tell you the whole story. I made a stop I made a stop in Newfoundland. That's right, I went someplace. I went someplace off the schedule. And I walked into a Radio Shack up there, and I bought myself a Canadian satellite system. What the Canadian satellite system enables you to do is put a dish on your roof and point it at the satellite, which is also above the equator, so it's not really above Canada or anything like that. And you point it above the equator to the particular latitude, longitude, whatever, you know, you figure out where it is. And then you're getting Canadian television. You have to do a few things to enable billing, and I'm paying for it like every other Canadian should. But I'm not a Canadian, you see. I'm an American. I'm in this country. I'm not supposed to be watching their TV signals, but I am. I'm watching Canadian. I saw NYPD Blue last night before it aired tonight. You can see The Simpsons anytime you want. I mean, it's we're not meant to be able to handle that kind of freedom. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what that's going to lead to. I can now see BBC World. I can see television from foreign countries. I can see people speaking different languages and showing different perspectives. In this country, you are not allowed to watch television stations from outside your region. It's true. You're not allowed to do it. Ask DirecTV, the satellite providers here. They will let you, if you qualify, see your local TV stations. But don't ask to see something in a different city because you have copyright issues. You have to watch your local commercials. You can't watch somebody else's commercials. You can't watch a TV program before it's supposed to be out in your area. So I know what I'm doing is frowned upon. I'm seeing things in all different time zones. I'm seeing all different kinds of news reports. I'm seeing all different kinds of music videos and commercials from the smallest towns in Canada. And it's scary. This criminal behavior, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And you know what? It's not stopping. It's not stopping. I went on the internet the other day. That's still okay for now. But when I went on the internet, I typed the word code-free DVD into a search engine. And what do you think happened? Something came back. That's right, something came back and I got a response. And I found a site that was selling code-free DVD players. In other words, DVD players that work from other regions. I can watch DVDs from England, from Europe, from all over the world by getting this DVD player that you cannot buy anywhere in the United States in stores anyway. Now, that's in direct violation of the DMCA and all kinds of other things that we've been sued about. What makes me keep wanting to do this? I mean, tomorrow I'm going to watch an episode of Steptoe and Son, which was the precursor to Sanford and Son in this country. We can't do that because it's in a different region, and it's not put out in this country, in our region, so we can't ever see these things unless we go to those countries and see them there. I have to stop this because I don't know where it's going to continue to go from here. And I have to advise people out there, those of you who are thinking of participating in things like this, because it's wrong, it's illegal, it's bad. And in this time and day where you never know what's going to happen next, we have to pay very close attention to the laws, because the laws are always changing. And that's pretty much where things stand right now. I had 3 weeks to think this over, 3 weeks to take a good look at myself and realize that I'm committing all these crimes. I've become a hardened criminal, and the law defines me as such. And I don't know where it's going to go beyond that. So I ask for your help. I ask for the help of the listeners, the help of the people around who will keep us from going down these dark roads. Hopefully, there's hope. Hold on a second. Hello?
Amtrak Satisfying. I'll be able to get you arrival and departure information for any Amtrak train. If you ever get stuck, just say help, and I'll explain your options. Let's get started. Do you know the train number?
Yeah.
Great. What is the train number?
I gotta get out of town. I just can't handle this anymore. I'm sorry, what'd you ask?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's my fault.
I think you said 5-4. Is that correct?
No.
My mistake. If you're unsure of what to do, say help or press star. Otherwise, please say or enter the train number you're interested in.
2175.
Got it. Would you like arrival or departure information?
Departure.
What station is the train departing from?
New York.
And should I look for trains departing today, tomorrow, or yesterday?
Today.
Got it. I'll look up information for train 2175 for Tuesday, November 13th. Hold on.
Thanks.
Train 2175 is scheduled to depart from New York Penn Station at 9 o'clock p.m.
Oh, good. Good. Thank you very much.
I think you said goodbye. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for calling Amtrak. Goodbye.
You notice that computers are so much more friendly than people these days? Yeah.
It's even more disturbing when you push the right buttons.
Yeah, well, you see, you've got a black windscreen, but you're the gray wire. You should well, there are no gray windscreens. I realize that.
None of them
totally
match.
Messed me up there, and I'm not in the mood to be, messed with right now. I know you'll guide me to the right decisions here, because
I wouldn't count on that.
Well, look at this. Look at this faceplate of the radio that I took out of my car.
Yeah,
you can. I was.
You can listen to foreign influences.
I was listening to an Afghani woman saying how the Northern Alliance is just as fundamentalist as the Taliban.
Well, you can't hear that.
Can you imagine what something like that said to people? My God, I just said that over the air, didn't I?
Well, it's a good thing the Times isn't reporting.
Yeah, well, let's get the 2-minute delay kicked in here so I can cut that out. But, we don't hear these kinds of things in the media, so you have to be really careful. Well, it's been a fun few weeks off the air, I guess. What have you been up to at Columbia University?
Oh, everything.
Yeah? Anything exciting going on over there?
There was an article actually in the New York Times on Monday about how the FBI and other government agencies are just calling up schools asking for information about foreign students, not saying why, and the schools are giving it to them.
Isn't that nice?
That's sweet.
It's that whole feeling of cooperation that that wasn't there before, that's there now, where you don't wait to be asked, you volunteer information on your fellow citizens.
They are waiting to be asked for now, but, you know.
Well, maybe some of them aren't.
Some of them aren't. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I've got an interesting phone number here I'm going to call in a few minutes, but let's update some of the news that's been going on in recent weeks, or recent days, really, because we only have an hour, and we do want to take some phone calls later on. This happened a couple of weeks ago. Top U.S. military officials have unveiled a new generation of smart identity cards, but we're still weighing whether to add medical data and other information to the chip-based ID cards. The Defense Department said it expected to issue the chip-based common access cards to 4.3 million military personnel, including active military, selected reserves, civilian employees, and some contractors within the next 15 months. Officials said the cards, which include a photograph, barcode, magnetic strip, and other identifying text, would help tighten security on access at 900 U.S. military sites worldwide, including the Pentagon, and to computer networks, including access to encrypted email and online transactions. The big benefits are in the area of security. They say you can know who is in a facility at a given time. Once the cards are widely distributed, the military could also use them to help create manifests for troop deployments, greatly speeding a process that can last hours now. And holders could also use the cards to book and file travel plans and expenses. Officials are, according to the Defense Department, mindful of service members' privacy concerns. Such countries as South Africa already use such cards to control access to voting booths and welfare benefits. Officials at the Pentagon and EDS Corporation, which I guess is involved in this, The main contractor for the smart cards said efforts were underway to boost the capacity of the cards within a year. Efforts were also underway to add an individual's fingerprint, which could be ready for implementation within 2 years. The Pentagon's experience with the new technology could prove useful in any move to create national identification cards for the United States. But no such discussions were underway, at least not in the public view.
Well, do you know who's a big proponent of those?
George W. Bush is a big
proponent. George W. Bush is against them.
He actually. Is?
He's against them.
Oh, well, Ashcroft certainly is for it. And,
that may be, but a big proponent is none other than Larry Ellison of Oracle Corporation.
Yeah, well, they stand to make quite a lot of profit off of that.
It's amazing how these things work like that.
Yeah. Now, while the military had no trouble authenticating its users, it could prove more difficult to do so if each American was issued a national ID, potentially over 200 million people. So, yeah, that's somewhat of concern, I believe. And then we have the Justice Department defending its latest move to intercept some lawyer-client communications while conducting terror investigations. Now, they say that less than 0.1% of the federal inmate population is affected. It's not okay. So many people. Well, actually, there's a lot of people
that's
these days.
A lot
days.
Of people.
Less than 0.1%. That's still a few thousand people, I think. But
I get 20,000, but I could be wrong.
But they're all criminals.
Well, of course. If you're arrested, you must be guilty.
Exactly. Otherwise, why would you be there? You know, I saw this on I forget what network I was watching. It might have been, it was CNN. It was that talkback show, that other talkback show. And somebody was talking about how more than 1,000 people have been arrested since the September 11th attacks and held for who knows what reasons. None of them have been linked to the attacks, but over 1,000 people have been arrested. And the commentator, whoever the commentator is during that that period, jumped up and said, no, not arrested, detained.
Detained.
And I want to know, what is the difference?
No, there is a difference.
Well, if you are detained, do you feel better than if you are arrested? I mean, you're still behind.
I would feel worse.
You're behind a fence of some sort or a wall or whatever.
No, I would feel worse because if you're arrested, they've charged you with a crime. Uh-huh. And you have a court system that if you're innocent, you can theoretically fight it. Mm-hmm. If you're detained, you don't know why you're there, when you're going to get out.
But she was defending. She was basically saying, no, it's not as bad as being arrested. They're simply being detained. How many times have we heard that phrase used in South America or, some of the most horrid places where people disappear and never return again? No, they've just been detained. And we can't tell you who they are either.
What they've basically been doing is taking people, finding visa violation technicalities, they forgot to cross a T or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and the people say, okay, you caught this mistake, whatever, you can deport me if you want. But they don't do that because they have to figure out if they're a terrorist or not, because if they're a terrorist, they don't want to send them back to Afghanistan. So they just keep them,
mm-hmm.
and apparently they can do this.
Well, under all kinds of new laws that get passed to brush aside the inconvenient old ones. Anyway, to defend this latest thing, Justice Communications Director Mindy Tucker said the new policy was simply an expansion of monitoring that has been allowed in the past under court order. The difference is that there's no court order anymore, so they don't have to worry about that little bit of nonsense. It can be used in the cases of inmates who are, quote, subject to special administrative measure, according to Tucker. Special administrative measure. How about those little phrases? Well, this comes from Insight on the News, which is one of those internet-based publications. If the United States is at war against terrorism to preserve freedom, a new coalition of conservatives and liberals is asking, why is it doing so by wholesale abrogation of civil liberties? They cite the Halloween week passage of the Anti-Terrorism Bill, a new law that carries the almost preposterously gimmicky title, Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism Act. Oh, my God. And you know what? I knew about the Uniting and Strengthening America spelling USA. I didn't realize that Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism spells Patriot.
USA Patriot Act. How could you be against that?
No, I didn't realize that the words, totally by coincidence, I'm sure, spell out the word Patriot.
Wait, are you anti-USA and anti-patriotism?
No.
Okay,
I wouldn't say a thing like that. This is basically, I'm just reading a news story because that's what I do. Anyway, critics both left and right are saying it not only strips Americans of fundamental rights, but does little or nothing to secure the nation from terrorist attacks. Representative Ron Paul of Texas, one of only three Republican lawmakers to buck the House leadership and the Bush administration to vote against this legislation, is outraged not only by what is contained in the anti-terrorism bill, but also by the effect to stigmatize opponents. The insult is to call this a patriot bill and suggest I'm not patriotic because I insisted upon finding out what is in it and voting no. I thought it was undermining the Constitution, so I didn't vote for it, and therefore I'm somehow not a patriot. That's insulting. It's going to Ron Paul speaking from his jail cell. And he confirmed rumors, I'm kidding, circulating in Washington that this sweeping new law with serious implications for each and every American was not made available to members of Congress for review before the vote. It's my understanding the bill wasn't printed before the vote. At least I couldn't get it. If a representative couldn't get the bill, you have to wonder.
Even if you can get the bill, it's completely unreadable.
At least I couldn't get it. Yeah, because it makes references to all these other laws. You basically have to spend a year in a library to figure all this out, and you have to have access to all these other bills and laws and things like that. Anyway, they played all kinds of games. This is a congressman speaking. They played all kinds of games, kept the House in session all night, and it was a very complicated bill. Maybe a handful of staffers actually read it, but the bill definitely was not available to members before the vote. And why would that be? Well, according to Representative Ron Paul, this is a very bad bill. And I think the people who voted for it knew it, and that's why they said, well, we know it's bad, but we need it under these conditions. Meanwhile, efforts to obtain copies of the new law were stonewalled, even by the committee that wrote it. Well, let's get to the heart of the matter here. What is so bad about the new law? Generally, the worst part of this so-called anti-terrorism bill is the increased ability of the federal government to commit surveillance on all of us without proper search warrants. He's referring to Section 213, authority for delaying notice of the execution of a warrant. ADNE. It spells ADNEW. What does that mean? ADNEW. It's like Agnew, but different.
It's not a word.
Well, I'm just spelling it out because I've learned to spell things out. USA Patriot ADNEW. Okay, anyway, also known as the sneak and peek provision, which effectively allows police to avoid giving prior warning when searches of personal property are conducted. Before the USA Patriot Act, the government had to obtain a warrant and give notice to the person whose property was to be searched. With one vote by Congress and the sweep of the president's pen, say critics, the right of every American fully to be protected under the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable searches and seizures was abrogated. According to the ACLU, which is joining with conservatives as critics of the legislation, not enough conservatives, unfortunately, the rationale for the Fourth Amendment protection always has been to provide the person targeted for search with the opportunity to point out irregularities in the warrant, such as the fact that the police may be at the wrong address, or that the warrant is limited to a search of a stolen car, so the police have no authority to be looking into dresser drawers. Likely bad scenarios involving the midnight knock at the door are not hard to imagine. And basically, it goes on from there.
You mentioned that not enough conservatives are against this bill, which is true, but also not enough so-called liberals are against it.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
In the Senate, only one senator out of the 100 of them voted against it.
Because
Russ Feingold.
They don't have any guts. They see the word patriot and they know they have to vote for that. You know, it's the most unpatriotic thing I can think of. I really believe that. I think we need to come up with another phrase that spells out the word patriot so we can prove our point in language they understand, because they obviously don't understand logic. Anyway, the rest of that article can be found at insightmag.com, and I thought that went into things pretty well. I don't know. It's frightening. It really is even more scary than my continued criminal behavior is the continued criminal behavior going on down in D.C. and where it's going to be leading us. Okay, we'll be taking phone calls in just a few minutes. But, you know, I wanted to try this out. And I'm not sure if this is going to work. I have not even tried this before. Because, I like the concept of live radio where you haven't tried something and you don't know what it's going to do. So, first we're going to try to dial this particular phone number and see if it works. It might not work at all. In which case, I'll just tell you what it is and we can figure it out from there. Okay. We're going international here, which I'm not sure our phone system can do. So let's dial the old 011, and then the special country code there. And the pound sign. I think that means the call went through.
Does it?
And that means I have to put my special little code in, which I just did. Now let's see what happens. Not a whole lot, huh?
No.
This number was printed in the court transcript for the U.S. Embassy bombings trial. And according to this particular transcript, this is Osama bin Laden's phone number.
Oh.
Yeah.
Call him up.
The satellite terminal you are calling is switched off or is not located in the dialed ocean region. Please try again later. This has been a free call.
I like that recording. Okay. He has the phone shut off.
I'm not surprised.
Wow. Well, yeah, this number, I'm not going to give out the number because I'll never get through if I give out the number. But I will tell you the number is publicly available if you look at the court transcripts. And I think it's also available on some news agencies, if you know what I mean. They printed the number as well. I don't know why I would have asked him, but maybe he's not aware of what's going on.
You have to learn Arabic in a hurry.
You can clear this whole thing up with just a simple phone call. All right, let's read some listener mail, and we'll be taking phone calls, 212-209-2900. Dear Off the Hook, just writing to inform you that a friend flew on Air Canada recently, and when eating the meal, she was given a plastic knife due to security implications, but given a metal fork. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but surely a metal fork could also just as easily, if not more so, be used as a lethal weapon. Yeah. Lots of things can be used as lethal weapons, and these security issues are really not accomplishing a whole lot except smoke and mirrors making you feel like something is being dealt with. When
Well, that's the goal.
Yeah, that is the goal, much like the Patriot Act.
They have National Guard folk walking all around, taking over Penn Station. And they're wearing camouflage, not to blend in, as camouflage was designed to do, but expressly for the purpose of standing out. Mm-hmm. So, there you have it.
I don't understand the camouflage either. They should be, you know, dressed as a Pizza Hut thing or something, or an employee, or something like that, you know. And then they'd really blend in. You wouldn't know where they were. Coming into the city, they stop trucks and vans and look inside to see if there's any bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cars have trunks, and you can't see inside the cars. So what is this saying? That, car bombs, they're okay, but truck bombs, we're not going to allow that. You know, I took a ferry recently, and police were stopping cars getting on the ferry and saying, oh, we have to check, you know, to see what's in there. And they opened my trunk. You know, they checked every car. They opened the trunk, and they saw various packages. And I'll tell you right now, one of them was the Canadian DBS system that I was smuggling back into this country. I'm ashamed of that. But anyway, they just looked at it and said, okay. And they didn't, you know, look any further. They just saw a box that said, you know, Canadian DBS system. It didn't say Acme bomb or something like that, which I guess is what they were looking for. I didn't feel very secure. I mean, if you just think a little bit, you're not really that secure. So, you know, these attempts to make us feel safe, they really aren't going to work. And we have to move beyond this and ask ourselves, well, what will work? You know, what will make us secure, and what can we protect ourselves against? And I think we'll find there are some things that we can just never protect ourselves against. And that's when you start dealing with reality and trying to figure out ways to prevent the thing in the first place. Okay, what else? New issue of 2600 is out, and boy, the talk about criminal activity. I don't know if you've seen this yet. Do you have a copy?
Not on me.
I don't have a copy either. I was afraid to carry it into the station. Basically, there are so many articles in this issue that if you look at it, you realize that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act forbids discussion of this information. That so much that our content headline editor, people don't know this, but every page has its own editor, and for the contents is also a contents editor and a contents title editor, headline editor.
Hmm.
And the contents headline editor pick the title DMCA violations to describe all of our articles in this particular issue. And one of the articles is about satellite television, DirecTV. This listener writes in, a lot of good articles, but I hope one of them doesn't cause you trouble. The article on the DirecTV emulation hack, from what I've been told about the technique, the article seemed accurate. I have notified the people that I know who are using such a hack to find a copy of your magazine if they are not already subscribers. I'm still awaiting feedback from them about accuracy, since I only have shoulder surfed their activities, which seem to match what the article presents. I'm writing this because, as you have reported on your own radio show, magazines that have dared to report such details about satellite TV hacks have had to deal with severe legal threats. I hope they don't get upset about your semi-mainstream, for hackers anyway, reporting about the technique. Well, of course, this is a threat we always face whenever we talk about anything controversial, whenever we talk about anything and give specific technical details. That is what we do. That's what we've been doing since the first issue came out in 1984. And I don't think we should let some misguided legislation, such as the DMCA or the Patriot Act or any of this other nonsense that's coming out, I don't think we should let any of that detract us from what it is that we do, which is basically educating people on technology and trying to show people why technology is important, why understanding technology is important, why manipulating technology is important and vital. And how if we give in to these people that want to control every aspect of it, we'll be giving up a lot more than just the technology. So, we face a threat. We always do. And we probably always will. And I think that's a sign that we're doing something. Something that needs to be done. So, well, I'll let you know who sues us first. Here's a question for you concerning the ICOM R3. That's the scanner that I smuggled in from Canada, it gets all the cellular phone calls that I was listening to. You mentioned you bought your receiver in Canada. I've called around to a few dealers to find out if the ones sold in Canada are the same as those sold here in the United States, and they've all told me that they are the same, but before I get one here in the U.S., I'd like to try and make sure. Do you know if the ICR3s sold in Canada are the same as those sold here in the U.S.? Well, I can tell you that if you want to be a moral person and a legal person and somebody who follows the rules, you will buy your scanner in the United States. Now, I will tell you also that if you call to Canada and ask to have one shipped to you, they will probably ship you one that's legal in the United States and not in Canada.
Well, it's legal in Canada.
I came out wrong. One that is legal in our country, which the Canadian one is not. If, however, you were to go up to Canada and go to a store such as what's a good store up there? Radio Times, I think, is one of them, or something like that. Just one of the stores that sells scanners. And Radio World, that's what it is. Yeah, it's Radio World. I think there's one in Toronto. Okay. But if you go up there and you buy one and you stick it, say, in the back of your trunk underneath the spare tire, or better yet, if you take it out of the box and just strap it to your belt so that it looks like something that you've had all the time, and maybe mail the box back to yourself in the United States, in case you have any kind of warranty things. If you were to do such a thing as that, well, that would be wrong. And that's something we do not support. And you would get a different version. Obviously, you get the ones that were unblocked. What's wrong with those Canadians? They don't see the threat of people listening to the radio.
How can you even talk about such tactics?
People have to know. Well, people have to know what to look out for. I'm speaking to the people that are looking out for people like that.
Oh.
Yeah. And finally, this interesting news item, which has been making the rounds. Armed government agents grab Nancy Oden, Green Party USA coordinating committee member at Bangor International Airport in Bangor, Maine, as she attempted to board an American Airlines flight to Chicago. An official told me that my name had been flagged in the computer. She said, I was targeted because the Green Party USA opposes the bombing of innocent civilians in Afghanistan. Military personnel with automatic weapons surrounded her and instructed all airlines to deny her passage on any flight. I was told that the airport was closed to me until further notice and that my ticket would not be refunded. I am shocked that U.S. military prevented one of our prominent members from attending the meeting in Chicago, said Elizabeth Fattah, a Green Party USA representative from Pennsylvania, who drove to Chicago. I am outraged at the way the Bill of Rights is being trampled upon. And I'm afraid we're going to see more things like this. I'm not sure why, but this is kind of unclear as to why this person was stopped. This listener, somebody who wrote into us and actually called the toll-free number that was on the press release that was being passed around, he actually got Nancy Oden. He called and got her in person. It was 1:30 in the morning in Maine, and she was up late preparing her papers to be sent to the conference at which she was supposed to speak. I spoke with her for about 10 minutes regarding what happened to her on that Thursday. She said that when she went to check in with her e-ticket, which she got through Priceline, by the way, the airline representative spent a good deal of time typing things into a computer, probably a detailed physical description of her, and put a big red S on her ticket for search. When she headed out to the gate, she was physically grabbed by a National Guardsman. She said, "Hey, you can't do that." She was then detained for refusing consent to search, an allegation Nancy says is bogus, since if it were true, she would have been arrested on the spot for committing a felony crime. She says she was personally flagged because she is an outspoken environmental activist, and her name appears prominently on the Green Party USA webpage contact list. She says this is a blatant attempt by President Bush to institute surveillance and intimidation. I found that you don't always know why you get stopped. Sometimes it's because of the way you look. Sometimes it's because they've been watching you for a very long time. But what I do think is very important is that we keep track of things like this, and we know how many times this is happening. We know when people are being detained and taken away to secret locations, and we ask questions, you know, because we do have some expectation of accountability, and it's something that we can't just let slip through the cracks. So regardless of who is being detained or how they were being detained, or how they were tracked down in the first place. Regardless of all that, we need to know when it happens, how often it happens, and we need to know other things that are going on around us with all these people that are now on the scene searching and watching and keeping track of us. Okay, and that's pretty much all I have, for now anyway. Our phone number is 212-209-2900. We'd like to hear from our listeners, who we've not heard from in quite some time. Thank you. Thanks again for those people who called in to pledge. We got a number of people who asked if they could pledge after the show, and unfortunately, you can always pledge to the radio station at WVAI.org, but you can't pledge to the show and get the premiums that we were offering, except during the time that we were offering premiums. Because to do otherwise, we'd be liars, because we said this is the only time that you can get this, and we meant it. It's the only time, so I'm sorry. You can't get it. Now, you can get it some other way, but you can't get it through us. And those of you who pledged for those things during our show, you will be getting packages real soon. All right, let's take our first listener phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Interesting point. Good evening.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello, Emmanuel. This is Jeremy Wood from Midland, Texas.
How you doing?
Very good. How are you this evening?
How's the signal coming in Texas?
It's great over the shortwave, which I have to thank you for telling me about a couple of weeks ago and off the hook.
I don't think I told you about I told you about the shortwave radio, but if we're being broadcast over a shortwave station, that's great.
Yes, it's excellent. First time I've listened live. I don't have a fast enough internet connection. But
we've made the big time.
I just want to say that you have corrupted me as a person. I used to be a nice guy.
Oh, no.
and now I do all these things like listening to world news on the shortwave. And you got supporters way down here in Midland, Texas, and we're working on getting a 2600 meeting together.
So, okay.
I don't know what else to say other than that.
Well, that's great, and that's inspiring.
Well, it's great to talk to you. I really look up to you. You're kind of my mentor. So, and I'll be in New York for the just after New Year's meeting.
Okay, great. We'll see you there.
All right.
And hopefully we'll see you at H2K22, which is next July. Thanks so much for calling. And it is inspiring, but you know, it's also frightening. Because look at the corrosive effect that simply making some allusions to shortwave radio. Now we have people listening to shortwave radio and somehow hearing us in shortwave radio. We get bounced around all different mediums. We're probably on TV station somewhere, being with the audio being broadcast over somebody else's video. Yeah, it's pretty frightening. It really is. Enemy of the state, indeed. Good evening. You're on the air. What's with the dial tones calling this? It's an awful lot of them. Okay, this isn't a dial tone. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Welcome to globalize criminality.
Uh-oh. Are you a global criminal as well?
Not yet.
Okay.
What's the name of the little radio Sony makes?
The radio that Sony makes. Okay.
The model number.
The model number is, it must be on here someplace. Yeah, it's the, that's how many watts it is. Here it is. It's the XRCA620X. XR-CA620X, and it's made by Sony.
Now that's a car stereo shortwave.
Yeah, it's a car stereo.
Okay.
And it's also a cassette player. And you can listen to AM. Well, AM is called medium wave.
Yes.
FM and shortwave.
And is it digital?
It's digital display.
Display. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And it's very easy to tune into things, and there's all kinds of stations out there.
Okay.
All right.
I thank you very much. What's the last digit? 620.
620X. Yes.
X. Okay. Begins with X and ends with X.
Yeah, that's right. It does.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for calling. And if you see any of those radios, please prevent them from getting in the hands of people. That is why he was calling, right? He wasn't calling to get one. Oh my God, I did it again.
Oh, you can't get one.
He can look on the web. He can put in XR-CA620X on a search engine, find the place in the United Arab Emirates that sells them, contact them via the internet, place an order, have it sent to him at his home address, and get it that way. So what do you mean he can't get it? Of course he can get it. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about people getting these things, and we have to stop that from happening. You know, it's a lot easier to embark on criminal behavior than it is to stop.
That's not criminal yet.
I'm trying, though. No, it's not criminal. No, I should point out, it's not criminal to listen to shortwave radio, but some of the ideas expressed on shortwave radio are of concern. Good evening. You're on the air. Hey, it's me. Speak up, please.
Hello?
Go ahead.
I'm calling from Wales again.
Wales?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, reaching all over the world. Okay, what's up in Wales?
Well, not much. It's a bit cold outside, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just wondering what's wrong with the IFC server.
Our internet relay chat server. We're rebuilding it.
Uh-huh.
To make it work a lot better, because it wasn't working very well.
Uh-huh.
It was basically, it had limitations, had security issues, and something like that really should be done right. So we've gotten a bunch of people together who are hopefully within the next week we'll have something put together, which I think you'll like.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks all.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And call from Wales, Texas, and Wales, reaching all around the world here. Let's go down here. Good evening. You're in the air. Speak up, please.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was driving along and channel surfing, and I caught the last blip of your comment about the woman who was picked out.
Mm-hmm.
As a very frequent air traveler. I think that most people are picked out for search, and I have been twice now since September 11th. Based on demeanor, the way an individual presents themselves, maybe something out of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I caught the last blip of it, so I wasn't sure. But I did hear you comment that she was a Greenpeace activist.
Green Party.
Yeah, Green Party USA. She was part of that organization.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was because of her affiliation or because maybe the way she looked or the way she, as you say, presented herself. There are all kinds of reasons why you get picked out. And I know I've been picked out many, many times. And so there's something there. I don't know if there's a file. I don't know if just the way somebody looks.
Well, I think it has to do more with the way an individual looks or presents themselves, again, you know, a little bit out of the norm. And obviously with the heightened awareness and or worry, you know, that may be all it takes to be isolated or picked out and searched. I don't, you know, I'm not an activist. I'm just a frequent traveler, as I said, and have been traveling internationally. And I don't think it really has to do with anybody's party affiliation or anything like that. So mm-hmm. Just a comment to throw into the ring.
If it does have something to do with the way you look, like let's say, you know, I have long hair, so I get picked out because of that. Well, you know, a terrorist would simply say, okay, I'll have short hair and I'll wear a suit and tie. I mean, is it really that simple?
Well, it may not necessarily be the way you look as, more the way you present yourself. Are you nervous? Are you fidgety? Are you constantly looking for something when, you know, somebody wants to search your bag? Are you reluctant to give it up? But, you know, it could be a number of different things. Or it could be just, you know, perhaps you feel it's a bother to even be asked to show an ID mm-hmm. at the desk where somebody might put a big red S on your ticket to be searched, because again, it's you know, in the normal course of everyday travel before September, that might not have been an issue, but now it may. And as I said, as a frequent traveler, I have no problem being picked out for extensive searches, because I would think that they would do that equally and judiciously across the board.
Yeah, I would think that too, and I almost expect it every time. I almost get it every time, so I know it's not being done fairly. I know it's not being done across the board.
At least some subset of the searches appear to be, as far as I can tell, random.
Yeah, what they do is they pick out the same people each time, and then they pick out some random people to make it look like it's always
that
random.
That could be. I mean, I, for some reason, tend not to get searched. I haven't flown since September 11, but mm-hmm. I flew to Europe with my parents, and I look more suspicious than they do. They
I think
got
if you're
searched,
with your parents, you get an automatic pass if you're
well,
with
but,
your parents.
But they got searched.
Your parents got searched?
They got searched.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And I
well,
didn't,
I was,
so.
I was actually traveling to Europe and was spent a gentleman, I was carrying a computer, and the gentleman spent probably 5 minutes looking through every nook and cranny. And quite honestly, I was pleased. It was good to see it. And, you know, I have short hair, was wearing a suit and tie, and, you know, didn't, not a member of any political strong affiliation. So I think I'd, you know, it was just a random selection, and as I said, I was pleased to go through it, and I just don't think it's something that they are selecting you based on your affiliation or have a file or anything along those lines. But as
okay.
I said, just a comment to throw in.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
I'm sure we'll hear from people out there that have experienced this in one form or another, not just on airplanes, but all over the place. And there's all kinds of searches going on various places that there weren't before. So we'll just have to see what that leads to. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
How are you?
Okay.
I made a phone call to Osama bin Laden.
But you got the same number I got?
No, yeah, well, I went on the internet. I'm not sure because he didn't announce it. I got a number from CNN. I called him. Apparently he's Australian. And he's very confused.
He's Australian now?
Yes.
That guy, I tell you.
and I read it says it's in the Indian Ocean region code. And I called it, and I got, obviously, an Australian gentleman, so I don't know if he's living in that region code, or, in fact, he gave me an Australian number.
You need to get off the phone with us and call American Intelligence, because there's a lot we apparently don't know.
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
So I just wanted to share with you that Osama bin Laden's Australian.
How did you get through and I didn't?
What?
Why did you get through and I didn't?
Perhaps we have different numbers.
Well, we'll have to email me your number you got, and
okay.
we'll compare information that way and use the usual encryption standard.
All right.
All right. Thanks for calling. Yes, good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Yeah, you didn't redbox your way through the trains in Philadelphia? I just noticed that. There's a thing in Philadelphia. I think it hung up.
Yeah,
hello?
We did hang up. It was a premonition, Rebel. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
What's up?
Yes.
You're echoing like crazy.
Okay, sorry about that. I just would like to thank you for all the hard work and dedication for your fight. And you've been a really tough soldier in the fight that you've been doing. One statement I'd like to make is, or actually a couple, is Ben Franklin said that those who give up their freedom for security deserve neither freedom or security. And the second statement I'd like to make is, I'd like, you know, you talk about radios. I really recommend everybody go at least get a CB radio or a ham radio so that the people can talk with each other, you know, off of the, you know, the phones and things like that. It's more free-for-all, I think, that would really unite the people.
Now,
are
you allowed to talk about anything, though? Or do you have to, like, you know, stay off certain subjects? Because I think you can only talk about things you wouldn't talk about on the telephone or something. Is that how it works?
Well, I'm sure there are certain rules, and I'm sure people would abide by the rules. But if there was an emergency and everybody was equipped with a TV radio, the citizens could help other citizens. And I think that would be a really, really good thing.
How can people get started with that?
How can people get started?
Yeah.
They can go to Radio Shack and pick up a TV radio for $50 or what have you and toss it in their car.
Very
portable.
As far as, you talk about CB, but what about as far as getting started with ham radio, getting a license, that kind of thing?
Well, ham radio, you need a license to transmit, but you do not need a license to receive. And, you know, the licensing is a little bit difficult. I think, you know, you might have been through it, but, you know, I have a ham license, only a novice class myself, but, it's definitely worthwhile because, you know, the people need to be aware of what's going on and talk with each other because we're only getting fed a load of crap to the monopoly press.
And okay.
I'm very upset that the press is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, last but not least, there's a lot of conspiracy theorists on the web that are talking about how this whole tragedy has to make into an intelligence operation. And I really hope it's not the case, but I would like you to see if we can't have a show about that sometime, about how all these coincidences happen to occur. And I really appreciate you giving me the privilege to talk with you tonight.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for calling. We'll look into things like that. One thing that's been bothering me, this latest plane disaster that happened yesterday, a plane crashing into a neighborhood in Queens. I think we've been off. I don't know why we were being so quick to say it's definitely not related to anything, but it just seems like almost immediately we were saying that there's no connection to terrorism here, where it's happening in the same city, it's happening around the same time. I don't know, I just think we need to ask a lot more questions. Something like that is awfully unusual, and for it to happen now is extremely strange. All right, one more phone call, then we're out of here. Good evening, you're on the air. Speak up.
Yeah, about the trains in Philadelphia.
Bad connection. Good evening, you're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hello.
Yes, real quick.
Yeah, this is Marco out in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, I'm wondering if this is Art Bell's Antichrist Hotline.
No, you haven't reached the Antichrist Hotline. You've reached... You've reached off the hook, and unfortunately, we're almost off the air.
No, I'm just kidding. I wanted to mention that indie media is not allowed typed in on CNN chat or message base anymore.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I was on at about 3 in the morning talking with one of the censors, and he was telling me even he cannot type FOX. He has to refer to it as like a furry animal with short legs.
All right. Well, this is something that happens when you, control communications and you're a media company, right? you can keep certain words from being said. Anyway, thanks for that call. We're out of time. And I want to thank everybody who didn't get through. We'll get to you next week, hopefully. We'll be back with another edition of Off the Hook. For Mike, this is Emmanuel. Have yourselves a good night. Stay alert. Stay away from criminal behavior. Doesn't help anyone. Yeah.
Man from the television crawling through the train. I wonder who's gonna stick it in this time. Everyone was looking for a little entertainment, so they probably put their hands up when they find out his name, and then they shut down the power all along the line. We got stuck in a tunnel with no light shining. Got that hooking all the girls who were too scared to call.
Tune to non-commercial, listener-sponsored community radio.
For news, entertainment, and information.
This is WBAI.
99.5 FM, New York.
Right across young culture in America. It shoots right to the kids. It hits key kids who are decision makers in their groups. Comic books are read by people who read. Comic books are commented on by people who think. They're not for stupid people, and they're not for ignorant people, and they're not for non-leaders. They are for everybody, but as from my experience, they go directly to people who have things to say, who will have things to say in the future. And the fact that they're being done the way they are, and the fact that they're being done by people who really care about what's going on in America, is, I believe, is going to make a difference. And it's not a small thing that's happening there, and I'm very happy to see it happen.
That was Neil Adams speaking on an early episode of Nuff Said. To hear thought-provoking and entertaining discussion on the subject of comics, tune in every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. for Nuff Said, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And visit our website, nuffsaid.net, for our upcoming schedule of guests. See you there.